So this morning's question is, has science made Christianity obsolete? There is this great gap in our thinking between religion and science. Do you like that graphic on the screen? I thought it was quite cute, really. It's quite clear what we're talking about in that image. But as a culture, we have become very adversarial. We love rows. We love falling out. Our media always presents two people with a differing opinion. You never see them interview two people who think exactly the same. It's because our media think adversarially. Whether it's our system of justice or even couples that feel it's a milestone when they've survived their first row, the truth is we think adversarially as a nation. So when science and theology are presented to us as mortal enemies that are always going to be in conflict, it seems plausible, doesn't it? However, I would like to suggest to you today that it isn't really accurate to paint that picture. In fact, historically, the Christian church has always been the sponsor of science, and many of the great names in science would have also described themselves as theologians. Newton, Kepler, Blaise Pascal, Galileo Galilei, Francis Bacon, Gottfried Leibniz, Antoine Lavoisier, Joseph Priestley, Anton Ampère, Michael Faraday, Charles Babbage, Joseph Lister, Louis Pasteur, Lord Kelvin, Werner Heisenberg, Wernher von Braun, and Tim Berners-Lee, the father of the internet. These are just a few names that I am dropping liberally. All of them were scientists that have changed our thinking, and every one of them was a committed Bible-believing Christian. In fact, I've got a book on my shelf in my office written by Newton, which is Isaac Newton's book, his first book, which was a theology book. And Leibniz, the German mathematician, I've got a book by him as well on my bookshelf, which is the ultimate look at why God loves us and we can still suffer as people. And all of these names, you know, every time you look at a 13-amp plug, you think of Ampere. Well, I do. I'm wired that way. So are 13-amp plugs. But I've only given you that list because I didn't feel it was appropriate to spend the whole half hour reading out lists of Christians in science. The fact that the Christian church was responsible for wide access to education in the first place, we should never forget that, it gives you a clue that actually Christians are lovers of truth and lovers of creation. So we are always open to science as it develops. The fact that the Christian church has had such a finger in the pie of science shouldn't really surprise us. It's our media that tells us we're at war with scientists. Professor Tom McLeish, a physicist, is now based at the University of York, and he is working to restore the strained links between science and theology. And he's written a couple of books trying to join the dots because, like so many, he sees no conflict between his scientific work and his personal faith. The real conflict is between those whose faith is in God and those whose faith doesn't allow for a deity. It is a conflict of faiths rather than a conflict about science and faith. So, there is a book called the Bible, the sacred writings of the Christian faith, and it is not now, nor has it ever been, a science book. I hope you heard it, that. The Bible is not a science book. It is a work of theology. Isaac Newton, who defined himself as being a theologian, he knew this. And theologians today know this too. We, the church, are in error when we try to argue about science from a theological text. The Bible gives us insight into God and also into the human condition and our relationship with God. Science can no more disprove the existence of God than it can prove it, which incidentally is a position that is widely accepted academically in both the scientific and the theologian areas. God is spirit, whereas science is primarily about the physical realm. Whether you believe or not that there is a spiritual realm isn't the issue. The Bible and theologians and the Christian church are speaking about a realm which is separate from the physical realm. I started out as a physics student here at York University, but the degree... Yeah, I was very tempted to Photoshop Einstein and put my face in there, but yeah, it does say before and after, doesn't it? I started out as a physicist, but the degree on my business card says Master of Theology. Why the change? Well, as much as I loved science, and can I say that that copy of Scientific American on the left on the screen is one from April 1978, which I remember buying and reading. Science, Nature, these great scientific journals were my basic reading stuff as a teenager and as someone in the 20s. In fact, I have to say to you, I cancelled my Scientific American subscription as a money saver when I married my wife, when I was 23. So until then, they were my staple diet. On the right, you have books, journals that I subscribe to these days. I regularly read Pneuma. I regularly read the Journal of Pentecostal Theology. I loved it this week when my copy of the European Journal of Pentecostalism arrived through my door. I like reading academic journals. My brain did not frazzle when I gave up physics, but there has been a change. And why did I make that change? Why did I move allegiance? Well, the truth is I still love science, but science was asking questions that were... Well, science didn't have the answer to the questions I was asking. I was asking questions that science could not answer for me. I found that true religion, true Christianity, wasn't just a religion, but a relationship. And it was something that had a huge positive impact on my life. Christianity is a life-changing and exciting pilgrimage through life. Not just a Sunday visit to a cold building with hard pews and a liturgy that is harder to follow than theoretical physics. And absolutely honestly, in some churches, I really do think that. I didn't need a list of do's and don'ts in my life, but I did need to get to know God. So science answers many fundamental questions that can tell us almost everything about our bodies, our physicality, but it cannot answer the basic questions about the unseen. Now, you might say, it's unseen, so I'm not interested in it. It's irrelevant. I don't even believe it exists. That's a fair enough belief system to adopt, but it is a belief system. And I would suggest to you that we can no more prove the presence of God to someone than a scientist can disprove it. Science is a system of knowledge about this world and its behavior, whereas Christianity is about morality, it's about God, it's about the afterlife, and yes, I do believe in one of those too. Thus, Christianity and science cannot really conflict because they are addressing different sorts of questions. It's when we adversarially set two people against each other, and believe me, you can watch loads of these on YouTube if you want, where people will argue that the other person is fundamentally wrong. And on YouTube you will see Christians poo-pooing scientists, and you'll see scientists poo-pooing Christians. And I would just suggest to you, there's not a lot of advantage for us in doing that. People have a perfect right to not believe in God, or to believe in anything else. But in an age which Christianity is growing, and please hear me, Christianity is growing on every continent in the world, we have at least 2.3 billion Bible-believing Christians out of 7.6 billion estimated world population, which whichever way you work it out is 30%. And also, interest in other levels of religion is growing. So Christianity is growing, other religions are growing. The reality is atheism isn't growing. Christianity hit rock bottom in our country in about 1980. And although the old established traditional churches are largely still in decline, more contemporary shades of Christianity, Pentecostals like Elim, AOG, and all of these others that you can see on the screen, are showing enormous growth. I mean, when I was a kid, there were 600 Elim churches in this country. There are now over 5,000. And that's just one for which I happen to have the statistic available. But the reality is that other churches, what we call the new churches, which were one, we've got the big bit at the top there, Ground Love Network. These other networks of churches have shown a great amount of growth to the Christian church in the United Kingdom since the mid-80s. Another growth area, though, is the spirituality area, which so many people these days, if you ask them, are they a Christian? They'll say, no, but I'm spiritual. And if you try and fish and find out what that's about, it can be about lots of things. We might in another generation have gone along to the state church in an effort to satisfy our spiritual hunger, but a lot of these people are now trying meditation, crystals, Reiki, Buddhism, Scientology, and the seemingly endless list. Science hasn't made Christianity obsolete. It has made people question it, which I have to say is not entirely a bad thing. But some people have had their faith shaken, and they have moved on to other belief systems. However, they haven't put aside faith or spirituality or belief systems, because they have a basic need to believe. And when scientists and Christians debate, they will often debate whether or not there is such a thing as a basic need. But with 2.3 billion Christians and about a billion Muslims, and then all these other people seeking some type of spirituality, it is very hard in the 21st century to argue that away. Some people have become so passionate about their unbelief in God that that has become their religion. And many of these people have become an embarrassment to the agnostic majority. Science and Christianity are providing answers to very different questions. Modern day theoretical physicist and theologian John Polkinghorne says There is more than one answer to the question of why is the water boiling in the kettle? The scientific answer might well be the water is boiling because at this temperature it is undergoing a phase transition from liquid to vapour, which I'm sure is the way you would all describe it. That was supposed to be ironic. The scientific answer might be that, but another acceptable answer that's non-scientific might be the water is boiling because I put the kettle on. I think most of us would talk in that frame, wouldn't we? But a third answer might be the water is boiling because my friend is coming round for tea. Now, none of those answers are wrong, but rather each gives a different perspective on the question. The scientific answer does not tell the whole story. The fact that water vapour is being produced at 100 degrees Celsius as water evaporates into steam, that's absolutely true, but it doesn't tell you anything about the relationship between you and your friend that is coming round to have a cup of tea with you. And I have to ask you, what is actually important? Well, I would suggest to you they both are. It is important that we understand about the science of what's happening in the kettle. It's also important we understand about the relationships that happen around the kettle. So, the scientific answer might not answer, science may not answer all of our questions. For example, it can't tell us whether the friend who is coming to visit us is trustworthy. Science cannot tell us whether a poem is well written, because we can't even get people to agree on whether a poem is well written. Science is tremendously successful in understanding our physical world, but that shouldn't let us be tempted to think that it can be used to understand everything in this world. The significant problem that many people, both Christian and non-Christian, have wrestled with is that of first things, creation. Science tells us a lot about a Big Bang, and I appreciate that the Big Bang Theory is not necessarily about that TV show, but it has made being a physics nerd acceptable in wider society. And the scientists in the room are smiling. The fact is that many have been caught up with the ideas of evolution and life, evolution being the driving force of life that's brought mankind to this level of intelligence that we can debate these matters today. And as a Christian, I don't particularly think it's my position to argue that point. I do, however, believe by choice. The Bible tells me that God is my creator, and I should thank him for that. When the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, was this a big bang? Quite possibly. Was a bit of evolution involved along the way? Maybe so. But I choose to believe that my Father God is my creator, the God I walk with day by day, the God I talk to each day, and who talks back to me, and I can't prove any of that scientifically. I cannot scientifically prove to you that I have a relationship with God, although I'm not either sure that I could actually prove that I have a relationship with my wife by science. But I do. And we're about to celebrate our 36th anniversary. But I have a relationship with God through Jesus, and the Holy Spirit lives in me. Long-term observations of my life might suggest that there is something about me that is inexplicable. Some of you might say it took us about 5 minutes, Stephen. But no one can prove to the contrary because I know him. The original Greek Bible talks about spirit with the same word that it uses for wind and breath. And on the screen, you've got a guy being blown away by the wind. And in fact, it In one place, it tells us that you can't see the wind and you can't see the spirit either. But you can sometimes see evidence that both of them have been there. And I think that particular screenshot, which I'm sure has been photoshopped, is evidence that the wind was there on that day. As Christians, we need to be open to science and all the interest it can bring into our lives if we allow it. But I would suggest that we all need to be open to Christianity, because a life spent with Jesus is a fulfilling life. I hate, and please listen to what I'm saying, I hate religion. I hate doing stuff because it ticks a box. Because my relationship with God does not require that I tick boxes for him. But I do fundamentally believe in Jesus, and I do fundamentally believe in God. And the spirit that the Bible describes God as is something which by definition is immeasurable. And to decry something that you cannot, by definition, disprove is actually bigotry of the highest order. And in a day in which we are all very conscious of the protected status of some human characteristics, we ought to remember that our Christian faith is one of those characteristics. Perhaps being a voice in the public arena that stands against bigotry might be a starting point where scientists and Christians could agree. What we cannot deny is that with all the education and exposure to science that we experience, people are still thirsting for some spiritual experience. The unscientific and the unmeasurable. With all our civilization, the truth is that the demand for spirituality is growing, and with it, the demand for Christianity. There have been 10 million new Christians by choice in the continent of Europe in the last decade. What does science have to fear from Christianity? Only the fear of the unknown. What does Christianity have to fear from science? The same. I like this little picture, two pictures here. Science searches for answers, so does religion. Science has strict laws and practices, so does religion. Science gives lectures. I'm giving a lecture this morning. Both have big, heavy books. Scientists wear long white coats. Come on, they do. A lot of the time they do. And some religious people wear long white robes. I don't, but there you go. Some people do. But the big difference between science and religion is that science sees God as being a man-made construct, and religion sees man as being God-made. And I think there is room for both. And the number of scientists that believe Christianity is true is evidence to that. So, surely there is room for both in our lives. If there is a problem in our educated Western world, it is a lack of understanding. Everyone should be taught maths and science at school. Okay, there was a big pull for that one. But also, we should educate everyone in what Christianity actually is. One problem in schools is that the standard of science teaching doesn't always hit the mark. The major problem is a block on our children's minds that science is boring. It isn't just a village in Oregon. Boring is an experience of a lot of kids in science lessons. One problem in our society is that those who teach Christianity themselves are not always brilliant at the job. May not always be believers themselves, and the hearers also have a block that when they are about to hear it, it will be boring. There is something which Christians do. They pray. Sir William Temple famously said, "When I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't, they don't." Sir William Temple wasn't trying to say prayer always works. He wasn't trying to say prayer even sometimes works. He was just making an observation from his life that when he prays, coincidences happen. And when he doesn't pray, they stop. The reality is that there is something, a Christian method, that we do. We make observations about life, and it makes us think about what might need a change, and we gather information about those things. We make lists of people that need prayer. We form an idea, we test the idea, and we analyze the results, and we see if it works again. And we call that prayer. And there is something called the scientific method, which is exactly the same thing. Make an observation, ask questions, form a hypothesis, test the hypothesis, analyze the data, draw conclusions, and reproduce the experiment to prove it can be reproduced. Both of these things are actually the same mindset at work in people. But Christians are trying the great experiment. We're trying praying. Today, I cannot possibly hope to fully persuade you about the value of Christianity in 30 minutes. But most Christians have employed a specific scientific method in prayer. The Christian method. Approaching God for the first time. And I would like to say to you today, if you believe in the scientific method, why not, for a week, try praying? Because it will either work or it won't. And you can either go away at the end of a week and find that nothing's changed and you were right all the way along to criticize Christians and you can go away and forget it. Or you can try it and maybe find a difference in your life. And then maybe you will have to face up to the fact that Christianity can survive in a scientific world. I'd just like to say to you now, would you like to just bow your heads with me while I pray? Father, I just want to thank you for these people this morning who have come along to listen and engage with this question. I just pray, Father, for each one of us, that we might all give you a chance today. That we might all be willing to engage with a God who loves us if we will allow him near us. And Father, I just pray above anything else that today the reality of a loving God and a Saviour Jesus and an abiding Holy Spirit might be with us all. Amen.